Hi friends, this is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry Podcast, and we welcome you back into conversation with us. It's been a bit since we've gotten to do this, and so we are going to spend the next 8 episodes over 2 verses, which is something a little bit different than we've done before. But just like fall has reminded me of lately, change can be beautiful. So we are going to trust that God has us focusing in on these 2 verses for a specific purpose. He's already been revealing pieces of that to us. And we hope that as you concentrate and kind of hit the pause button or meditate on these 2 verses along with us, we pray that he will continue to bring this theme of trust just before you constantly. So we are going to talk about Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and I'm going to read those, and then we will just kind of share how God kind of led us here on this theme of trust. So Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." As we've shared, it's kind of a familiar verse if you've been in scripture for a while. But ladies, I would just, if you have something on your heart to share, like how did God lead us here?
Well, I don't remember. I don't remember exactly how we got started on trust. But I feel like we just kept coming back to that's something that we have to do. And it's one of those church phrases that we say to each other, like, well, just trust God, trust him, you know, and then we roll along with it and assume that everyone knows what that means, when that's something that we don't naturally just know what that means, to trust God. It's just like, maybe we better reel it back and talk about what that means, because we're not here as experts or theologians or whatever. We're just regular women trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're trying to understand and know God's word and to apply it to our lives. So trust comes up. I'm surprised I didn't count or look up how many times the word trust is mentioned in scripture, because I usually do that kind of nerdy thing. But it's in there a lot. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, when it says to trust, we wanted to then find a specific book in the Bible, because a book in the Bible is usually the way that we like to study. It kind of gives us parameters and we can work within those and gives us a guide and all of that stuff. But wouldn't you know it, as God had planned for us in trust, that we would be talking about these 2 verses, but a concept that's so much bigger than one book of the Bible. And a lot of times that's true, but it's been a real struggle, to be honest, for us in trying to figure out how to talk about this, because we don't just start at chapter 1 and go from there and walk our way through the book. We have really had to look at how trust is applied throughout scripture and different stories, and then also how it relates to us every day. Heather, do you have any thoughts about trust? I know this is your first podcast session. So what do you have specifically about this broad
idea? Well, there's a lot of trust being a part of this and just kind of coming into it. But trust is a very broad term. Like you said, it's in scripture. It's throughout scripture. And you know, people say, trust God. Well, what does that look like? And so it really takes you into a journey of what it looks like to trust the Lord. And it's a lifelong pursuit, is what I have found as a believer. It is a lifelong pursuit to know and to walk in trust.
Yeah. I think I would have to say life experiences brought us to this. 2024 has been a challenging year for several of us. I know in my own family we've had health issues and just, you know, dealing with life itself. And we go back to, well, we've got to trust God with this. You know, we've got to see what God wants. And Becca, believe it or not, I did the nerdy thing.
Yay!
of looking up trust in the ESV. And then I went to the NIV, and scriptures are different because of the different translations. And I forget the number, but I actually did that. And I found that in some versions, instead of the word trust, hope is used. And later on, maybe in this podcast, we'll talk about what you think about that. You know, is there a difference between trust and hope?
Bonnie, one thing that you have said through some of those life experiences that we have journeyed off camera alongside of each other, reminding each other to look back to him, to remember that he has been trustworthy. You said, and I have carried this with me and probably will for many years to come, that we know his hand is in it. We may not understand how his hand is working, but we know his heart. And that has carried me through in life circumstances as hardships have come. And sometimes they come one right after the other. And as Becca said, it's easy for someone who's in a joyous season to just trust in the Lord. But what does that look like practically? Mm-hmm. And so that looks like waking up and opening God's word to be reminded that when I don't feel it, he still remains the same. And one thing that I was thinking of is, so we landed in wisdom literature. And so there are different genres of the Bible and of which we have to read a little bit differently. But we are women who love to be in God's word. So we love to gain knowledge. That's why we like books of the Bible. We like digging, all the different cross references, looking up what words mean in their original language, like gain knowledge. And I feel like he's tapped the brakes for me and said, don't forget to live it out. And that's what wisdom is. It's the action of living a life that looks like I trust in the Lord. And that is a lifelong pursuit. And it's hard. And I need people around me that when I can't see beyond the hard circumstances, they help me to go to him and share that and remember he has not changed. And he is the source of wisdom.
I think... So I'm going to make this broad statement. Trust is something that comes naturally to us. Now, we trust in a lot of things, mm-hmm. not God. We trust in ourselves. We trust, I get in my car every day and trust that it's going to start. I get in the shower and trust that the hot water is going to come out. You know, I trust that the traffic is going to be a certain way so that I can get to places within the time parameters that I've allowed for. And so we operate all day long under these assumptions that everything's going to go the way that we expect. And it's when things don't go the way that we expect that we all of a sudden throw up our hands and say, well, I don't know what to do. How can I trust God because he's allowed this thing to happen? Totally forgetting the fact that almost everything all the time is operating under these what we consider normal estimatable parameters. So when it comes back to trusting him, I guess it requires us to acknowledge or realize that we aren't in control and that we have to realize that God has kept all these things in order. He is a God of order, but sometimes he allows things to go out of order so that we can look back and trust in him. And so I think that that's why we need to talk about it, because when those things do come up, we want to be equipped. And that's one of the reasons why we study and we read God's word and everything, to prepare ourselves. But you really can't prepare yourself for what thing is going to be unexpected. When I was a little girl, I was convinced that my grandpa was going to die suddenly. And I worried about it all the time. Anyway, he didn't, but my dad did. And I realized then that I had wasted so much of my peace as a child anticipating something that didn't happen. He lived to be 95. Dad died at 60. And all of the worrying didn't do anything except make me miserable and stressed out all the time. I do want to read just a little bit from Jeremiah 17, starting at verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. His trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. There's a lot more about those verses that it continues that we can talk about later. But right now, when I read about that tree and where its roots are, and roots is something we come back to often, in our personal conversations at least, being like this tree that is planted by water that has roots deep down, so it doesn't fear when the storms come and it doesn't fear when the drought comes. And I read verses like that and I want that. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this, because I want it for me, I want it for you. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to help other people get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, were you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And we were talking about trust, and one of my favorite verses, I'm going to have to put on my reading glasses, is 1 Timothy 4:7. But it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. But then in verse 8, it says, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And I think when I was thinking of this verse with trust, we fight battles daily as believers. And I think we can honestly say that Christians have a little bit more trials than the rest of the world. We do. They still fall under the curse and have trials. But it seems like you were saying, Angie, it's just like one thing after another at times. But it's a good fight. It's a good fight because, number one, we are on the winning side as believers in Jesus. We are on the winning side. And also, too, it's for our own refinement, the things that we go through in order to know him better, to be more and to love him more and more deeply than we ever thought possible. You know, a lot of times, and I can honestly say this in my Christian walk, I thought, I've arrived. I've arrived. And then I'm like, no, I haven't.
Here comes one of those waves.
Yeah. No, I haven't arrived. And that's something I have to fight all the time, to think that I have arrived. And on that day, when we stand before Jesus Christ, everything is gone, like just him. He is our hope. He is what we trust in. When the battles of this life sometimes pull us completely under. And a lot of times we're like Peter. We have faith. We're getting on the water, but then, whoosh, down we go. But all Jesus has to do is reach down and bring us up. So I have faith right now that one day this is all going to end. But in the meantime, I have the trust that we have to fight the good fight, even when it feels like I'm drowning.
The English teacher in me says, let's take a look at what we've talked. We've already mentioned trust how many times here this morning, and
right.
What is trust?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's define our terms here, you know?
Yeah.
And
so tell us, English teacher.
And theologian.
Well,
Pastor.
According to the Dictionary of Oxford Languages, trust is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And, you know, Heather, you mentioned faith already. And which comes first, trust or faith? And what's the difference in those two terms? You know, it's faith is a confident belief in something, even if there's no proof. You know, because the Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Mm-hmm. The evidence is what I'm familiar with. The translation says conviction of things not seen. So faith is something that that we have, and I think trust is the action. Mm-hmm. You know, we trust because we have faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then that takes us into the hope aspect of it. You know, why do we have hope? We have hope because we have faith and because we trust. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to that assurance of, Heather, what you just said, one day it's all going to be over and we're going to be with him.
Yeah, I love that. And they are. Once you start digging in, I feel like faith and trust and hope and belief, they just kind of all overlap. I feel like faith was his free gift to us when he awakened our hearts. But the one thing that I've been thinking about when I think, you know, what does God's invitation to trust tell us about him is that he desires a relationship with us. In the original language for trust, it one of the definitions says to lie extended on the ground, to throw one down upon his face, to be confident in. It's because we are worshiping him in reverent awe and saying, I don't have all of the knowledge, I don't have all of the wisdom, but you do. And for some reason, you desire to invite me into trusting you. And the more I trust you, the deeper my faith will grow, the more hope I can cling to for what is promised ahead. Because your son, in a way that was completely upside down to how we would ever imagine, came so that we could commune with this holy God, who is, again, I think I said it early, who is wisdom. So that's the invitation to trust, is saying, you know, come to me, ask me. When I think about Solomon, he was the one who humbly, I think it's, I wrote it down, it's in 1 Kings 3:3-15 in there, Solomon humbly asked the Lord for wisdom. And then I also have James 1:5 in the New Testament, reminds us that when we don't have it, go to God and ask. But it's that relational invitation. He's saying it's going to continue to grow if you continue to come to me.
If you think about, as I think about trust and thinking about how we trust people that we know well, mm-hmm. and in early relationships, a lot of times we feel uncertain or insecure or whatever because we don't know them. And until we build up that relationship and that love and understanding of who each other are and comfort, then we are more easily able to trust. So, the easiest way for me, I think, is as a daughter, as a child, I trusted my parents to provide for me. I didn't have to beg them to provide for me. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes people do, you know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, the world doesn't always go the way that it was created to. But in my life, I did not have to beg my parents to provide for me or to take care of me when I was sick or to comfort me when I was hurting or to help me or carry me along when I couldn't walk enough or didn't have the strength to do the things that I needed to do. And so I think God calls himself our Father, and he invites us into relationships like that. He says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. He provides a comforter for us. He invites us in Matthew, I think it's 5, to not worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear, because he provides for the fish and the birds. Is he the fish? Just the birds. Anyway.
The lilies and the...
I think he probably does provide for both.
Yeah, he probably does provide for the fish.
I don't know what Matthew has to say about them.
I don't know about the fish. We'll talk about that later, maybe. But still, you know, he provides. Mm-hmm. He provides all of those things, and we don't have to come to him and bring this or carry this burden of needing to bring it all to his feet, because if we don't, he won't provide for us. And I think a lot of times we have that posture with God, and we feel that pressure and expectation that if we don't ask for it, he's not going to give it to us. So we come to him begging for him to intervene, and begging for him to provide, and begging for him to heal and to move. But God is already working in those things, and he's somehow working through those things. And I think the more that we get to know him and we get to know his character, then the more that we can rest and trust, knowing like a little kid can just fall backwards off of the bed into their father's arms without an ounce of fear, because they're completely confident that their father's going to catch them and they're going to laugh and they're going to hug each other, you know? And I think that that is the trust that God is inviting us into, but it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's hard to trust someone you don't physically see, right? Like, I can physically see all you ladies and talk, and I get feedback, and that's wonderful. But sometimes in the flesh, it's hard to trust when we can't physically see him or audibly hear him. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and comforts us and lets us know, you know, he's got you. He's got you. And I was reading this quote about how it's such an honor that we can walk into the throne room of God in prayer because of Jesus Christ. And that's a trust. I mean, it's like God saying, come on in. Come on in. And just to trust that he's always there listening, and to trust that, you know, Christ is sitting way above everything and looking down through the spiritual realm, the physical realm. He is there. And so he knows the future. He's already there, right? We know Revelation, he's there. He's already there. And just to know that my father holds my hand, catches me when I fall, and loves me like no one on this earth could ever love me. It's something I don't deserve, but it's something that I can count on.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, we've already said the better you get to know a person, so the more you know whether you can trust them or not. So the more we get to know God, and we know that God is faithful, and we can depend on that. So sometimes I wonder, how must God feel when we don't trust him? I mean, if one of you were to come to me and say, you know, Bonnie, I'd say, well, Angie, what do you mean? Surely you trust me on that. And, you know, and if I find that you didn't trust me, it's like, well, that would hurt, you know? So sometimes I wonder, you know, do we hurt God when we fail to trust, when we have all of the evidence, like you said, that he's faithful, he's there, he wants this relationship with us. So I think sometimes we disappoint him when we fail to trust.
That's a deep question. I'm going to have to marinate on that one. I definitely know there are times that I have questioned trusting him when, as we talked about earlier, when circumstances are unfolding, or maybe when I'm watching somebody that I love get crushed by those waves. I'm thankful that he is patient with us. That he continues to hold fast to us, even if we've let loose a little bit. I'm thankful for people that he surrounds us with. That's why it's so important to have community, because we all need that help along the way. One thing that I have written down is I can get so into striving instead of trusting. I can allow busyness to hide what is really going on inside of me and keeping me from trusting. And I'm sure we'll get into that further along in this verse. But when anxiety rises, that's kind of a flashing light to say, okay, you're not trusting. So, you know, let's sit in that a little bit longer. But our tendency just wants to let's just pretend it's not there and let's keep going. And that's why this gift, I feel this, he has given us a gift to meditate on these two verses, because he gifted us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has the power to awaken that truth and to show us what that means and how to live it out. But so often I feel like I've got to learn more about it before I can possibly do it. And so it's just going back to that gospel truth that the fight has already been won. So therefore, because of the relationship that I've grown in knowing him, I can reflect back and remember how trustworthy he is, so that today, in whatever I'm struggling to trust, I can take it to him, ask for help, and lean into that trust a little bit more.
I think as we wrap up this first session about, we called it Why Trust. Mm-hmm. Why trust in the Lord, and why are we talking about it? I think it comes down to a lot of things that we're going to take apart piece by piece over the next 8 sessions, or 7 more sessions, rather, talking about trusting him and how do we surrender the control of our lives to him. Jesus modeled such a beautiful submission to his Father and the Holy Spirit, too, in surrender to God's plan and God's will. And through that model, we can see that we also need to surrender the control over to him, and we do that through knowing him. And I think that's the main thing, is to know him, to love the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to develop that love requires knowledge of each other, relationship with each other. So as we move forward, we'll talk about more of the ways that we do that, the ways that we struggle doing that, and how God has challenged us in this process. Does anybody else have anything they want to add before we wrap up?
I want to throw in another scripture verse. Psalm 62:8 reads like this: "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." There's why trust. He is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our everything.
Yeah, he doesn't invite us to trust him because he just wants to be in charge of it all.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he wants to be our refuge, mm-hmm. our shelter, our fortress. The kindness and the mercy and compassion of God is all part of knowing him. Characteristics of mm-hmm. God are the things that just draw us into him. Mm-hmm. excuse me, Bonnie, would you like to wrap this session up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our Father and that you are our strength. You are our refuge, and you invite us to just participate in this life with you in hopes of a better life yet to come. We just thank you, Father, for this conversation we've had. Teach us to trust you more. And Father, you've shown us that as we trust you and you prove yourself over and over, that grows our faith and restores our hope, and it just becomes a progression of trusting you in this life. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, that wraps up this session. Join us next time as we start in on the actual verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we look forward to diving in this with you and what God is going to lead our conversation to.